Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cash and welcome to the Dork Forest. Intros are hard. I have a new album. You should be listening to it. I have a new hour. You could be watching it on YouTube, but I appreciate you listening to this, The Dork Forest. You could go to JackieCasia.com or TheDorkForest.com, and you can listen to it there. You can listen to it on wherever you're listening to it right now. You can watch it on YouTube separately, and that is where Altercation is also streaming. The album is available wherever you listen to any kind of album, and it's also on Bandcamp, which has a bunch of other, some very old Dork Forest that are free on that channel. Otherwise, you should know that the Dork Forest is, I don't have a Patreon, so feel free to donate. If you have $100 a year, I would love $100 a year from everybody. You can hand me a sweaty wad of 20s when you come and see me do stand-up, or you can email me or Venmo me. The email would be PayPal, Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can also email me. And Venmo is just @JackieCation, which is like my Instagram and my TikTok and all the things. And there's merch. There's Dork Forest merch. There's Made of Bees merch. And I don't know. There's so much stuff. I can't remember everything. You're doing vital work by listening to the Dork Short Forest, and I'm glad you are. And I hope you want to hear about somebody's dorkdom, because that's what's going to happen right now. It's me, Jackie Cation. Rangers, this week's episode of the Dork Forest is with comic Katie Kamba, New York comic. So she has a new special out. Okay, I forgot to
share. She's great. Yeah, thank you.
Great. So it's called Incurable Optimist. For all the right reasons, you should totally find her. Find that album on the YouTube. You could watch it, right? It's a special, mm-hmm, a video show, and then it's as an album on all the places where you get albums, right? Your Amazon, your
Deezer.
Your Deezer
that I just found out about. Yeah.
Bandcamp.
If you're into that. I like Cobuzz. That's my favorite. I'm anti. I left Spotify when they started.
Right. Joe Rogan. Well, it's Amazon, hard to go, but there it is. It's, yeah. I'm almost out, but Pandora, you could just listen to it. Mm-hmm. And, but it'd be nice to throw $10 towards Katie Kamba.
I would love that.
It's called Incurable Optimist. Her Instagram is Katie Kamba. Kamba is spelled C-O-M-B-A. Mm-hmm. Katie is spelled like Katie. I believe it all. Okay. We're going to dork out though. And this is what it's probably a dorkdom because everything, I could dork out almost about, I certainly will weed off and tell you stories. You only get an hour. Is that your phone? Have you been texted?
I don't know what that is. It's not mine, but it keeps
singing. Every time it goes off, I will burst into song.
I'm at my sister's house in Toronto, so I don't know.
Are you Canadian?
No, my sister married a Canadian.
Oh, very nice. Are you doing stand-up up in Canada?
I am on Saturday, yeah.
Oh, congratulations. Thank you. Love Toronto.
Oh my God.
I love
it's great.
The comedy scene there.
Yep.
I don't love how my hair is parting in the wind. So watch this. Okay. Here we go. At Katie Kamba, Jackie Cation, travel tips.
Yes.
How long, where did you grow up? What state?
I grew up outside Washington, D.C. in a small enclave, not town because it's a suburb. Right. Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Tacoma Park, Maryland, yep. Near our nation's capital, which is being looted as we speak.
Yeah. And I usually tell people it's they compare it to Berkeley a lot, like the Berkeley of the East Coast, because it has like colorful bungalows and Victorian homes and white people who say Nicaragua.
Nicaragua. So
that's what you need to know. And we think we're helping. So,
well, there it would be more active help would be encouraged and at this late date expected.
Yes.
So rise up, people. it's middle-aged white lady time. Now's the time.
Yep. Wine moms.
Anyway,
join together.
Right. That's it. March shoulder to shoulder in front of the people who are about to be murdered, please. So you grew up there. Did you travel a lot as a kid?
Not like
was
more than normal.
Trouble?
I mean, it's, I would say like the reason I wanted to talk about this and the reason that it's so like a little bit central to my identity is that I, my mom has a travel vibe that I would describe as panic Karen. She's had that vibe since I was little. So like the first trip that I can remember taking is we went to visit my grandmother in Florida. She was living in St. Petersburg. We were going to go to Disney World. It was a big deal. And the taxi was late picking us up. And it's like one of my early, I think I was like 6 or 7. And I remember my mom just having a complete breakdown and being like, we have to drive to the airport. And then we ended up missing the flight anyway. And that is just, I don't like having that level of like panicking for something that's just not under our control. And there's, you know,
right.
No reason other people have to be collateral damage to that.
This is going to be a disclaimer because this could be a triggering episode, you guys. You don't know. But I will say this. I have learned more from working in and around when Maria Bamford for the last 10 years. And it's more than that. It started probably 25 years ago that I started opening for her. But in the last 10 years, she has, because of any number of things. It's I don't think of it as a character defect. I don't think of it as anything but possibly the cocktail of meds that she's on. But whatever it is, she would be late and miss flights. And I was never late and I never missed flights, except for when I did, right? Because you cannot control things. And sometimes connections are too tight and you don't make it. But the scoop is this. Maria Bamford has given me a zen on travel days that allows me to go, well, we're going to make it or we're not going to make it.
That's the key to this whole thing. You that just have to submit.
That's it. Surrender to the sort of the journey. Mm-hmm. You can only do as much as you can do. And at 6-0 over here, 60 years old, not pleased about to say the word, but there it is. I'm not running. I can't. I can do a half-ass shuffle, but even that, I'm like, fuck it.
Yeah. And it's like, that is a recipe for a heart attack. It is worth missing the flight to not have a heart attack, you know?
Exactly. And so I do plan accordingly and I try to do that. So your mom panicked as a child.
I mean,
every time you traveled.
Yes. And she's always been kind of high strung, which is just now she's retired and she teaches meditation. And I'm like, you are just scamming people because
that is gutsy stuff. That's like the nuts getting the degree in psychology and becoming the therapist.
Yeah. And I've seen her do it. It's convincing. But if we are 5 minutes late for a dinner reservation, all that goes out the window. Like,
wow.
So. I really had to like take on my own like just managing my own aura around her specifically. It was another time we were late. We were like flying to visit my sister was studying abroad in Madrid and we stopped over in London and it was daylight savings time in London and a week earlier than in the US. So we were surprised when the cab showed up an hour early and that was just like we did not get back on even footing for the entire day. Like it was pure torture.
So she when it happens it plays through. It stays with her.
Yes.
And does she have any self-awareness of it?
Okay.
The wait was too
long.
Don't worry about it.
Not in the moment. Yeah.
Not in the moment. Are there any great stories told in your family about when she rose above it or when the meltdown
certainly
was so
not.
Great?
Certainly not. I mean, my go-to is we were flying from like Munich to some place. I don't remember where. And she just started getting like major attitude with the desk agent, not even the gate agent. Nobody who has anything to do with the plane, but she was like really pissed off that he couldn't like create a plane out of thin air that would be on time and get us to where we were going. And I was like, you are going to go and sit down and I'm going to talk to him and we are going to stop subjecting him to you because you're not helping any of this. You know, she's going to, if she hears this, she will be so mad at me, but it's true, Mom. Okay. So, yeah. I'm helping you.
Meditate on this.
Yeah, exactly.
Meditate on these things. Yep. Because it isn't easy. We can both admit that.
Yep.
Is that the more you travel, it is exhausting to just do that.
Yes. And being around other people, I mean, I was already kind of over other people, but then the pandemic happened and I was alone for almost 2 years. And it was fantastic. So,
You have to relearn to integrate into society again.
Yes. I went to a Knicks watch party last week and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this whole thing. Like, people are too close to me. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. I walk into an elevator and if there's more than three people in it, I genuinely cannot stop my mouth from saying, it's like 2019 in here. And I will never stop saying it until I die. And the people who get that joke will die before us. Anyway, so we get it.
Yeah.
Mrs. Campa, is that her name? Your mom?
No. Okay. We thankfully have different last names because when we travel together, I'm like, but we have identical faces.
There can be distancing.
Yeah. I am like, you're flying business? That's great. I'll have fun in business. I'll see you on the other end. Like, we don't.
We will also be addressing that, sitting with loved ones. Anyway, so.
Oh, yes, we will.
So is it trains, planes, and automobiles? Where do you want to start?
I wanted to mostly focus on flying because, like, automobiles, it's kind of like you can fuck up your car as much as you want. I'm sorry. You can mess up your car as much as you want. You can
fuck it up.
Yeah. Put stuff wherever, you know? You're not.
It's a giant handbag, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
It is
on
your
wheels.
Backpack.
It's like the main thing that I'm like, I kind of wish I had a car because it is a giant purse. And I have a giant purse. But not worth it. I love the subway. So anyway. But yeah, planes are really where you are going to be in proximity to other people to an extent more than you would want. I do think hell is other people. And I think, especially at the airport, it's going to be hell for everybody. Nobody likes it. You know, that's also a key thing to like keep you calm is like, nobody is excited to be here unless maybe it's like a 3-year-old, you know, and he just doesn't know.
So what is your opinion about apologizing? Because the thing is you can't keep your temper all the time. We all snap.
I saw your special and I do try to apologize right away. I don't have an accountability partner for it, which would certainly change things for me.
Well, but if you need someone to bookend, I am sure. What the heck? Go ahead.
Yeah, that would be great.
Feel free to drop me a line and just go, guess what I just did? It's not great. Mm-hmm. And then moments later, you can go, guess who just apologized for it? Yeah. A small statue. Little bit of a parade or at least a anything. So
I want to be at my best, of course, but sometimes my best is not good enough. So
right. You just have to keep going and if you can acknowledge where it's going to go, if your temper snaps and you say something crappy to somebody, if you can think it through, you will have paused long enough to have not broken whatever that tiny retail relationship you almost just broke.
Yes. Or at least be like, I'm really sorry. I'm really frustrated. And then you can kind of, you know, vent a little and they understand that it's not directed at them.
I had a bad one the other week because I was driving to the airport. I treat myself like a Fabergé egg. As Maria Bamford says, treat yourself like a Fabergé egg. You are a golden doodle, whatever. You are a beautiful item that needs to get there in one piece. So get this. Actually, I'm taking over this episode because it is fascinating. Because Andy Ashcraft, my loved one, my husband, has driven me to the airport for 22 years.
Wow.
This year, which picks me up as well, this very year, 8-10 months ago, said, I don't think I can do it anymore at LAX.
Okay.
And I said, you did it 21 years longer than absolutely anyone else. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
But he does think it's because we live right by a bus, it is $13. Here's the thing, is I want to take the flyaway. If it's not there right away, I'm bored.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I am willing to budget and spend $100, oddly enough, because I'm gonna make the club pay for it. I can't face it.
Yeah.
So, but how long have you been? I have a new bit I'm working on about travel. And so I won't go into it. I'm going to let you talk. because we're 11 minutes into this thing and I barely let you talk. Let's hear it. Your flying tips for travel.
I'm going to start. We're going to kind of go through a trip. So it starts with, obviously, booking the flight. Basic fares are fine if you are like flat broke, but you don't earn miles with them and you can't bring a bag. It's not about the bag. It's about the miles. So, like, do not leave miles on the table. I've gotten in several fights with one of my friends about this. So it's up to you. But, yeah. I think don't book basic fares unless you're like really, really skint. So for packing, I have bad ADHD. So I start packing like 3 days ahead of time, but my packing is, I just throw things on top of the suitcase. I have a luggage rack at home, which I recommend.
Okay.
If anybody does not, I have one for me and one for guests. Because otherwise I just leave the suitcase on the floor.
What is a luggage rack?
It's like one of those things you find in hotel rooms.
Like in the airport? In a hotel.
Yeah.
The flat, flat thing. It's sort of like a chair, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
And I don't, not everyone knows how to use it because I have one for guests. And I don't know if you know Leah Bonema. She came and stayed with me. And she was like, I've just never understood how to use these. And it turned out she had it kind of perpendicular to where it was supposed to be. And so I changed her life. And ask her about it. She will tell you.
Rotate.
Yeah. Just 90 degrees and you're good. And it's a game changer not to have to bend down because I'm 46. So I make the noises when I bend down and I stand back up.
And to have something at that level where you could actually just, and you're not taking up bed space. You're not taking up.
You can put things under it. It is key. So
there you go. All right.
And you can fold it and put it away if you're into that. I hardly ever do that, but sometimes, and I do have a cheat sheet open here because I just have so much to say about this. So one of my friends, like I can fit a lot. And when I went on a trip in 2011, I had a sabbatical from my job at the time, which was PR, and it was 5 weeks. And I was going to Europe and I was going to a bunch of places. So I was like, I don't want to be like checking a bag every time I do this. So I found a website called onebag.com. It's probably not around anymore. It was a guy who is probably on the spectrum, but he was like talking about how to travel with one bag. And he was basically like, the key is you don't bring any more than a week's worth of clothes anywhere. Like, you're not going to Mars. You can do laundry. Right. You can figure something out, you know, like socks and underwear at a minimum. You can do that. So that's kind of been my philosophy. I pack the same amount of stuff if I'm going for 5 days or if I'm going for 3 weeks. I will say I'll bring more socks and underwear if I'm going for a longer time. And I have travel underwear, which is just like,
what's
you wash it out
about?
And it's dry. It's just like a mesh. Oh. So it dries in like 15 minutes. It's not my preference.
Okay.
But it's better than running out of underwear. So, I have my clothes that I bring are a subset of my day to day because it's like I wear a lot of leggings because I gave up jeans in the pandemic because I was like, what the fuck, where am I going? Who cares? I've kept two pairs. I have pajama jeans, but I don't travel in them. I have I'll get to that in a second. So I bring leggings because they pack down a lot tighter. Like you can bring like four pairs of leggings for two pairs of jeans. So I do that. I have packing cubes, which I highly recommend. And they are not, you know, it's not like shirts in one packing cube, pants in another packing cube. It's more about like getting the right sizes of things so that you can slot in around them. I have one friend who, when we are leaving a trip, she will just sit and watch me pack my bag because she's like, I don't understand how you're going
to
get all that.
I have to say that I don't think I understood travel tips as a dorkdom until just now in the word travel cube. What the hell is a
packing
travel
cubes,
cube?
Yeah.
What is a packing cube?
Many, they're just like little suitcases that you put in your suitcase. So it's like a suitcaseception. Yeah. It is fantastic. Yeah. Like I'll usually like roll up my t-shirts. I'm a big fan of rolling, a big fan of layering.
Sure.
Things. So I will roll up t-shirts and put them in there. But normally what I do is I'll put like things that are all kind of the same size in one of those. And then I'll roll up things and slot them in around
five
so that I can fit more stuff.
Packing cube.
Yeah.
This is something. Wait, so do they zip close? Are they hard?
They are not.
Or are
it
they
depends
soft?
On what kind you get. Mine are soft and they have like a mesh top so you can kind of see. If I had it to do over, I would get a set that are mesh all the way around because if I can't see what's in it, I don't know what's in it.
Right. This thing seems to have half. It is mesh so you can see sort of the rolls of.
Yeah. So you can be like, oh, right. Those are my leggings.
What's happening?
You know? Like, what's up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, please. Yeah, this is a game changer.
It is completely. And again, they are for compacting. They're not necessarily for organizing. You can do that if you want to, but that's just not my philosophy.
Compacts.
Mm-hmm. I pack things inside things. So if I have like a hat or something that I need to, not a baseball hat, but like a, you know, beanie, I can like stuff it into a shoe. Like there's always and room that you're not thinking. Yeah, socks go in the shoe, but I actually have packing cubes that my socks go in the packing cube.
It's sometimes Andy Ashcraft will pack for me because he can't stand how I pack. Because my thing is like, I have what happened to me once in, I believe, Montreal, my luggage broke.
Oh,
and
my God,
clothes went everywhere on the spinny thing. I was embarrassed, humiliated, angry. I went through all the stages.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went out and I bought $1,000 piece of luggage. That is how I dealt with it. It took me 3 months to pay off that piece of luggage. And I have since only bought that brand. And that brand is Tumi.
Okay, yeah. Worth it.
It is the fanciest, and they will fix almost anything.
It's the warranty that you're paying for. That's that's correct.
And it's glorious. But here's how I pack. I always overpack.
Mm-hmm.
But I always bring, like if I'm going for 4 days, I bring 6 days worth of socks and underwear.
Yep. That's normal to me.
Right. I bring, So I just do. And then I bring the pants I'm wearing, two other pants, probably an extra one pair of pajamas, extra t-shirts, and then two sort of sometimes three kind of coats or jackets because I'm overweight. I need something boxy. And I used to bring a swimsuit, and then I realized I'm never swimming.
Yeah.
So if I want to swim, I'm going.
I bring it because otherwise I need it. Like every time I'm like it's the spa or something. Not even swimming. Oh. Like something that I'm like, I want to go, you know, and I don't want to wear whatever their disposable swimsuit. Like, please, it's not, that doesn't exist.
I took a gym class in high school that we had rent. They had swimsuits for people.
And that's a no for me.
That was, I know, right. Yeah. But they were clean. I mean, it was public high school.
No.
So it was scratchy as all fuck. Right?
And just wearing a swimsuit in front of your high school classmates. That's, nobody needs that. That should be illegal.
It was just a black one piece. Yeah. It wasn't anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. So, okay. So pieces within pieces. Okay. Yes. The packing boxes.
Anywhere
okay,
you
go.
Can find, like, you know, like a shoe is what, like this big? But if you put socks in it, that's like all that real estate that you can use. Or like whatever you want to put in there. Sometimes I put like my drugs in there.
You're only doing a carry-on. You're doing a carry-on.
I only carry on. I don't even have a bag that has to be checked. I have one that I can check, but it is carry-on sized. And I would say 9 times out of 10, I'm carrying on. If I'm checking, it's because I went shopping in the place where
and,
I was.
Right. And you do carry-on because it's cheaper?
No.
Because it is a good...
I get a free check
cheaper.
Bag.
Yeah. Okay. Because once with points, you do get, you end up, and with credit cards that you have to pay for once a year, you do get free bags. I get 3 bags on Delta.
Yeah. And it's like, if I'm traveling with merch, which I'm not, I don't have any merch, but if I did, I would check a bag with the merch.
Mm-hmm.
But for myself, for personal travel, I like get really up, like I have to travel alone most of the time. I have one friend who I will allow to travel with me. It's the one who spectates while I pack. And it's because she submits. She just does whatever I say. And that's why it works. Like,
okay.
And then she'll be like, you were right. I thought you were going to be wrong, but you were right. And I'm like, this is the key to traveling with me. It's just telling me that I'm right. Even if you're surprised to hear it, I was. And that's the important thing. So, that is, I think
that's the bag.
Them. Yes. And then there's, you know, when you're carrying on, it's important to not have to get your fucking suitcase down from the overhead bin in the middle of the flight to get something that you left in it that you need.
Right. So you have to have your toddler bag. You have to have your toddler bag of stuff too,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
So you have a backpack or some sort of other bag.
Yes.
Backpack. Mm-hmm. So you have your rolling, is it a four-wheel roller?
It is a four-wheeled hard-sided spinner.
Okay. That's the ticket.
I don't know why anyone would buy a bag that is not a hard-sided spinner. It is.
I don't have hard sided, but I do have
hard sided. Close. It's like honestly, and you can kind of throw it around a little bit more. I won't, you know, it's hard to damage it. I have one that's the brand is Lojel, and I've
how do you spell that?
Lojel. I think it's German. Okay. I've had this bag. It's broken. It is currently broken. It is cracked, but I will not part with it. It is too much my favorite bag. I put some rainbow masking tape on it and we kept moving. So literally it kept moving. So I actually had to replace the wheels because I had like banged it up. Like the wheels were totally bald. So I got new wheels and that's kind of why it cracked, because one of the wheels doesn't fit right. But
where did you get them? At like a hardware store?
It's from, no, I got them from the manufacturer. I had bought it on like mega sale on ebags.com, which is no longer a site. I'm very devastated.
One bag and eBags gone.
Yeah. Well, so, one bag, might, I didn't check. It might still be around. But eBags got acquired by somebody, you know, in the way that
somebody wants
has.
You to pay full price for bags.
Yeah. Probably Amazon. Yeah. I don't know for a fact, but probably, because they take everything good and ruin it. So, right. I got it from eBags, but I had the receipt still. So when I emailed the manufacturer, it was still covered under the warranty. So they mailed me new wheels. I did have to put them on myself and I did cry 5 times during that process because I had to use
during
a power
that process.
Drill. Yeah. It was really awful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tumi, you could just take it to a Tumi store and they will replace the wheels for you.
Right. And that is,
and they will replace
I will
the zipper
pay for
pulls.
That. When I do replace, it's going to be a Tumi and that'll be why.
It is. They are pulls? Very expensive. Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's
zipper
awesome
pulls.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing. Here's what I would recommend if you buy a Tumi. They will tell you that they will replace the zipper. Guess what? They won't. They took a bag that they said we have to send it away. This is a very Grinchy move. Do not let them take your bag out of your out of your state. They sent it to this place and it had an air tag in it, and I watched it sit there for months. And then they said, hey, we can't fix it. Here's a $250 credit. And I was like, absolutely not. Yeah. And then they were like, so sad, too bad, it's gone. And
here's your free suitcase is what they meant to say, I assume.
Right, right. They did not. And so here's what I recommend is if it gets to the point where the zipper needs to be replaced, find a cobbler, find a tailor. I live in Los Angeles. You live in New York.
Yep.
Large cities have people.
Yeah.
If you do not live in a large city, somebody's grandma knows how to replace a zipper. Find that grandma. Anyway, so that is my small
That's a great
PSA.
Tip that I did not have. So thank you for that. I'm going to add it
okay,
to the
yeah,
cheat sheet.
To me. okay, right. The bag is done.
The
Next
bag
up.
Is done, but remember, don't. Okay, so if you have pre-check, you can put your. I have my also my toiletries are separated into wet and dry. And because I have pre-check, I can put them both in the suitcase and just zip up the suitcase and that's fine. I'm sorry. The dog is staring at me for some reason.
Okay.
Get out of here. Okay. So, not my dog, you know, like anyway. And then if you don't have pre-check, you have to take the liquids and put them in your accessible carry-on. Again, do not be opening up your bag at security. That is gauche.
Please don't do it's that. Unnecessary.
Yeah. We got to keep it moving. The what we're doing at security is keeping it moving for everyone. Right. Okay. If you have a stroller, I have no tips for you. If you're traveling with kids, God bless. I just try to, I will go around luck. You. I'm not letting you go in front of me. So yeah, so that is the biggest thing at security is make sure that you can get those liquids out. And if you have two tablets or like a laptop and a tablet, you have to take out one of them sometimes, not always. If you're pre-checked, sometimes they'll let you get away with it, but they don't like it.
Right. But they, if you have a laptop and an iPad, they don't want to hear, but your
and
phone
a Kindle.
Is fine.
They'll pull a Kindle. I've had
they'll
that
pull a Kindle
delay me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Note
which
to
I
self.
Forgot I had. So yeah. That is more of an issue if you're in Europe or if you are not pre-checked. So if you're pre-checked, it's honestly not that big of a deal, but okay. So going to the airport, I have a dress code. It's not a uniform. One of my friends tried to call it a uniform and I was like, it's not a uniform. It's a dress code. It doesn't matter. Anybody can wear whatever they want to the airport. I don't care if it's PJs, whatever. My recommendation is that it have pockets and that those pockets, if you're wearing different pairs of pants, should be in the same place, no matter which pair of pants it is. So I am partial to a pair of leggings from Athleta that I paid too much money for, but they are perfect for travel. They have giant pockets. I can fit my passport in one and my phone in the other. And
Athleta?
Yes.
A-T-H?
Yeah. L-E-T-A. Yep. It's a Gap brand. It's Gap bought them.
Okay.
I think the leggings are from Post Gap. I have a couple of things from them from before Gap bought them, but oh my God, I actually just remembered another thing that I have to, okay.
You have to talk about?
Yeah.
Well, they have these leggings are nice. They have a wide, some of them are not just it's not tight on the on the ankles.
Yeah, and they're like Pima cotton or something. It's, you know, just like the most white.
So they're loose
leggings. Yeah, they're not loose, but they're like the fabric is really soft. It's like I'm wearing like spandex, more spandexy ones right now, and I would not wear these on a plane. You need something more like natural fibers are your friend.
Yeah,
especially for long flights. And Okay, so I'll wear that. I wear usually either a like thermal if it's winter, Uniqlo Heat Tech. Those are my favorite ones. And then I'll wear a long sleeve shirt over that. And then if it's winter, I bring a coat that's like a stuff sack coat. You can use that as a blanket, a pillow. It could be many things.
So you have a winter coat that, what is a stuff sack?
It's just like it comes with a bag that you can like stuff the coat into.
Oh, okay. So it can be folded and put into sort of a,
yeah. So if you're going from like a cold place to a warm place, yeah, anything like that. So it's, okay. You can also, it usually have something on it so that you can like hang it off your bag if you have like a carabiner clip or something. Cause I will say I overpack my carry-on bag a lot. And then I'm like trying to consolidate to two bags to get on the plane. And it's, I've like injured my hands trying to zip up.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
But I'm extremely serious about complying with the two bag limit. Cause I hate when I see people violating that. So, okay. Yeah. All right. Pants with pockets. Oh, bring a scarf if it's a long flight. Cause you will be so sad if it's cold and you don't have a scarf. It is like, especially for like red eyes or anytime you're trying to take a nap, just like the slightest bit of cold air on your neck. For me, I'm like, I can't sleep.
Yeah.
So scarf and shoes that slip on or off. That is the number one thing that depresses me at security is when I see somebody having to walk through barefoot because they wore sandals to the airport. I'm like, I don't understand. Like, they're going to be on a plane barefoot. Like, we don't need that. I don't want to see people's feet. I think there are some cultural taboos that should come back. You know, the socks are pushing it. And if I see you go to the bathroom in the socks, I'm like, okay.
I don't take my shoes off on the plane and a long plane flight, like international, I might, especially if it's a fancy class where they've given me slippers, but yeah, I have to, here's what I wear. Here's what I like to wear. This is how I travel. It's I show up, right? I always check, especially if it's connecting. Only want my backpack. That's all I want. I want my toddler bag of toys and I need it. And so other than that, I'll have a bag of clothes and a bag of merch. So I'll check those to the end and then I'll have my backpack, headphones, extra pair of headphones.
Yes.
In case I run out of juice. So I have sort of idiot headphones that I could just, that were super cheap. And then I have my expensive ones and, it's great. So I get on the, I go into the airport. I am headphones, hoodie up. I'm usually wearing a hoodie. I don't want to talk to anybody ever. I'm wearing a mask.
Me too.
In the airport. I don't want what you have. You don't deserve what I have.
And
I travel all the time. Yeah. I don't want you to talk to me. You don't need it. And so I go in, I always take it all off. Like I lower the mask, obviously through pre-check. Andy does not have pre-check. Oof. So what he calls it, because he does not travel as often as we do, he calls it TSA theater. And he says, when I go to the theater, I like to have the entire experience. So he insists on a pat down. He won't even go through the
I used to do that.
It's so I've got the headphones. I check everything. I get to Sky Club. I get a free Sky Club with the thing. I will go to the Sky Club. I'm to some extent sick of the Sky Club now, but the Sky Club, if you could afford it, is almost $800 a year for this credit card that gets you into the Sky Club. But when I do not go to the Sky Club, I spend anywhere between $20 to $40 on coffee and crap because I'm bored.
I'm early.
So that adds up. Plus I get two free bags. So the Delta Sky Reserve card costs $750 a year. It is expensive, but if you fly enough, it pays for the luggage and it pays for the coffee and soda and crap that you're going to eat. So if you could afford to do it,
plus and alcohol, what you said about any time of day, you can get a beer in the Sky Lounge.
Yes, you can get a beer in the Sky Lounge anytime. And the, and I will say what you said about basic is true. Even the Sky, like when you call in, they're like, do nothing with basic. You don't get the points. You don't get to pick your seat. If you could afford anything, Maine is fine. all, and if you have enough points, if you buy in at Maine, you will get bumped up to Delta Comfort mm-hmm. almost immediately. So just avoid basic if you can.
Yeah.
Anyway,
anytime there's an opportunity to get, like, if you're flying on another airline, sometimes you can get points on your airline.
Oh, so, interesting.
Like, if you, I don't remember what I flew.
Airlines do you use?
Usually I do the Star Alliance, which is United and partners. So I flew Air Canada here, but they're a partner on United. So I still get my preferential group boarding. I got to pick
How
my
is
seat.
United?
It's an airline. I wouldn't be like, it's great? Amazing. It's so awesome. But I used to
say that about Delta. I used to gush a little bit about Delta.
I think maybe about United also. But then I've remembered that I'm nobody to them. They don't care. So,
And things have changed so much in the last mm-hmm. 4 years that things have gotten lost and they've changed some things and they're trying. It's not as helpful as it used to be.
But yeah.
And my other airline is Southwest, mm-hmm. which has fundamentally changed in the last 3 months, where now they have assigned seats and you pay for luggage mm-hmm. and you need the credit card. But it also you get one free bag if you are either you have their credit card, which costs $100 a year, or you are A-list. Get this. They don't stack. If you are A-list and you have the credit card, you don't get two free bags.
Okay.
And you have to pay for the second bag mm-hmm. at the second bag rate.
Wow. Wow.
It's a real shitty thing to do.
I mean, it's all like a result of where we are in capitalism. Like all this money is at the top. So they're just nickel and diming us for money that, you know, they think we can come up with.
Right. There's just like, well, the profit margin has dropped by a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. I have to figure out how to get seven more dollars
for my
that
shareholders.
Guy.
My shareholders, they need this. You know, not my customers.
Right. So, what I do is I like a window seat. Some people don't. They like to get up.
I'm an aisle person.
Don't. Yeah. I like to squeeze mm-hmm. up against the window. Shades down. Mm-hmm. You could ask me to open it. None of your business though. Mm-hmm. And if you want it open, you got to tell me why.
Yeah.
Is there, you just want to see out for a second?
I like it open, take off, and landing. Those are my, because otherwise I'm like, where are we?
I like landing mm-hmm. because then we can all see the gates.
Yeah.
And then for connecting, mm-hmm. like we landed, we were at A18 in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Our connecting flight was A73. And so I was like, oh, well, this is going to be a 15-minute walk.
Yep.
And so it was, but we had an hour and a half, so it was mm-hmm. great. And then, I'm against the window. I've got my headphones and my hoodie and, the TV is on before mm-hmm. me. I like to watch a movie that I've seen before with captions. So I don't get the headphones mm-hmm. unless for some reason.
Same. Yeah. I'll get them, but I won't
something
use them,
exciting.
But I'll watch with the captions. Yeah.
Right. I'll watch with the captions because mm-hmm. I want to listen to the music. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to music. I'm watching a movie that I've seen 100 times captioned.
Yep.
And then I have a book in this hand and I have my cell phone in this hand mm-hmm. with all the toys. And it's got video games. If there's no Wi-Fi, I have a game for that. If there's Wi-Fi, I have a game for that. I also have my Kindle is on the phone. So I have built essentially a Dave and Buster's meets the public library right here in my tiny seat, right? And that's me. And the rule is whoever has to sit in the middle seat gets both armrests, mm-hmm. and I'm okay with that. They do not get, there was a very tall man who put his leg under my seat.
No. You know, I do think tall people should get special dispensation on planes, but not at my expense. Not at the expense of my underseat room, because I need that.
Right. No, I said, I actually had to say to the guy.
Yeah, right.
There are many things that I will let you do. Mm-hmm. That isn't one of them. Take your leg back.
Yeah, yeah.
And he took his leg back. I said, you get both of those, and I'll squeeze up as much as I can for your tall. Mm-hmm. But I'm going
to, if somebody's tall enough and they're in my row, I will sometimes give them the aisle, but they have to have been really nice to the flight attendants and to me.
That is above and beyond, and you're a good person.
It's only happened once or twice. But
so here's what the bit that I'm working on.
Okay.
too much info for you, but we flew back from Berlin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We flew to Berlin and back from Berlin, and we sat together. And I don't need to. We're still going to be married when we get off the plane.
Let's not.
Not if I have to sit in the middle seat.
No.
And so coming back from Milwaukee, I was like, here's what can happen. You can either have that middle seat or I can give us both window seats. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, I'll take a window seat. It doesn't matter. And I was like, and sadly enough, we needed to talk during the flight. So I both
hate
had
that's
to get
the
up.
Worst. Yeah. No, I'll text. And I would rather text.
Well, his phone wasn't on.
Oh.
But Maria and I never sit together. Mm-hmm. We're about to spend 3 days
exactly.
together. We will remain friends.
Yeah.
With my husband, we could even role play if we wanted. We could meet back by the bathroom and make out. This time, actually, we landed at LAX and I got off the plane first. And then he came out and I said, hey, I met you at the gate. I made
above
it like
and
that.
Beyond. Yeah.
That was a funny thing we did. Anyway, so it was fun for me. But yeah, so that's how I would prefer, because it's stressful.
Yeah.
I want to be nice to everybody. Mm-hmm. There was a guy got frog marched off of one of my flights right after lockdown. And when we landed.
For a mask violation or for what?
Don't know. Huh. Cause I was under. Yep. And so I turned to the guy next to me. I said, what'd that guy do? And he said, he was really trouble. And I wanted to say, you know, he wasn't trouble for this one right here. Cause I was under and, I had a perfectly lovely flight.
Yeah. Definitely deadening your senses is the key to a pleasant flight. Absolutely. If you can make other things not exist, that is the way to go. If you have the option.
That's it. I got books. I got music. I got video.
Yeah.
United
has a game where you can land planes. And I play that a lot when I'm trying to ignore, when I'm trying to tune everybody
really?
Out.
Really?
Yeah.
There's on a game the screen,
center.
There's
a game center on the app. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
They have a flight simulator.
Is it on the back of the car? On the back
no,
of the chair?
No,
or
it's
is
in
it
the
on
app.
The app?
You have to do it on the app.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
So okay. That's fun.
All right, next up.
Okay, let's go. So once we're inside the airport and there's an escalator, if you are on an escalator with a bag, you still have to stand to the right.
Oh,
people still
right,
have
right.
to be able to get by you on the left. So my philosophy is always put your bag in front of you. And if you're going down, hang on to it because it can fall. But on the way up, just put it in front of you. And then it's great because you put the bag here and then you step around the bag and walk off with it behind you. So you end up getting off a couple steps early. So it just makes me that's my friend who I allow to travel with me. She does not observe the stand to the right rule. And sometimes I have to check her.
Oh.
I will. And then once we're inside the airport, if there's a moving sidewalk and you stand on the moving sidewalk, I will knock you down and you will deserve it.
Well, what if they stand to the right?
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. As long as there's room to get by, but if you're walking slow and there's not room to get by.
But you have to be aware of your surroundings at all times.
We're in an airport. Someone here is in a rush. Someone here is like this close to a heart attack. So you've got to get out of their way, you know?
Yes. And I will say, though, that the Brian Regan used to do this bit about how people who wear backpacks on airplanes as they get on the airplane. He's like, you're hitting people with your backpack.
Yes.
Please be aware that you are hitting people. And I had not noticed.
It's hard. I'm usually serious about walking a straight line until I get to my row. And I'm also usually whatever group I'm in, I am fucking number one in line to board with that group. So there's not, I'm not usually walking by a bunch of seated
interesting.
People.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, continue with your airport journey.
Okay. So when I get on, I pretty much make sure that the bag is always in front of me because then I can see where it is and I'm not like rolling over somebody's foot by accident. In the bathrooms at the airport, sometimes you'll see a toilet that has not flushed. And I just want everyone to know that there is a button on the side of the toilet or somewhere where you can flush it just like at home. Okay.
Right.
So
front of the toilet, side of the toilet, on the wall.
I do not want to see you walk out of a stall with some shit in there and act like it's normal. Like, just find the button. It's there. Okay. Because I.
Right. Everything is
hands
free.
But
sometimes it doesn't
Yeah.
And ideally, you're going to go wash your hands. So I understand you don't want to touch it. Use some toilet paper and go wash your hands and then leave the bathroom. Right. You know, just the germaphobe theater at the airport is so insane because it's always people like wiping shit off and like not touching things, but they have no mask. And I'm like, then you're not a germaphobe. You're not a true germaphobe. You're just doing this for I don't know what. Clout? There's, I don't care.
Right. Here's my least favorite thing in the traveling, which is why I will sometimes just turn the music up. If someone is on their phone, in the toilet, on the pot, sitting on a toilet, calling their daughter, their mother. And by the way, this crosses all races.
Oh, absolutely.
All ages, all types of human beings. All of the ladies that are in the women's room that I have ever seen. I have seen older white women. I have seen teenage white women. I have seen older black women. I have seen teenage black women. I have seen Asians. I'm sure there's Native Americans. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, there's an idiot in all of us. And you have got to stop.
Yeah.
Because I used to do this, and then I didn't like how much I was wasting the water, but I used to just double flush.
Yeah.
just to try to embarrass. I was like, it's as insane. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, none of your business. Keep moving.
Yeah.
But I would like to send out a plea to please not do it. It's disrespectful to the person you're talking to, and it just makes everyone go, well, that's gross.
Yeah.
There's one thing at a time.
There's a whole airport to have these conversations.
Yes.
Without me having to pee next to you. It's not. Yeah. So LaGuardia has really nice bathrooms now. And that is a real blessing because, I don't know, the Cancun airport is the one where I'm like, I have nightmares about it. It's really the worst.
I was at the airport in Ethiopia. That's right.
Ooh, wow.
Very exciting. With Alicia Cooper. Mm-hmm. And she came out of the bathroom and she said, it's like locked up abroad in here. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. And I will always remember that line.
Did you go?
No, okay. I didn't have to go to the bathroom. We waited until we were.
Take your word for it.
We got on the plane. Mm-hmm. Ethiopia, by the way, the airplane, and I've told this story before, Rangers, you've heard it. They served, one of the food options was fish.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh, no.
On an airplane?
Oh, no.
And I looked at the flight attendant and I said, you're serving fish on this plane? And she said, yeah. I said, then we're all having fish.
Yeah.
I'll have the fish.
Since I have no choice.
Since my chicken is going to taste like fish and the beef is going to taste like fish, I guess I'll have fish.
Yeah.
And
ugh.
It was good, actually. The food was actually excellent on Ethiopian Airlines.
Awesome. Okay. So once we're on the plane, this is where we start dealing with the flight attendants. And no matter what you think of how flight attendants act on the plane, I think we can all agree that job went from the cushiest job in the world to a fucking nightmare overnight with COVID. And there's still a lot of fallout from that, but if I see people being rude to the flight attendants, I can't deal with that. I know there are people who bring like care packages, like a little chocolate and like, thank you for your service. I don't do that. I don't know. And it's like, apparently,
you might as well hand them a 20.
I would rather do that. I really would rather do that.
I would rather just hand somebody a 10 spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What am I? Get chocolate for what? Like, no, thank you. I don't understand the.
Like, what if they don't eat sugar? Or what if they're.
Right.
It has.
Diabetic.
I don't know.
Or
diabetic.
Whatever.
Anything.
You know, like, yeah, it's the thought that counts. And I don't think you put that much thought into it.
You know,
it,
people
frankly.
Love cash.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, if you are in the aisle and someone, this is in flight and when you're getting there, if someone is coming into the aisle or out of the aisle, you have to stand up. You cannot just invite that person to climb over your legs. You cannot just turn to the side and expect that person to climb over your legs. And do not fucking try to climb over my legs because I have knees and I will use them.
Right, even if we're on a bulkhead, I just want you to get up.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Most basic respect to us both. To get up and get out of the way. And then, you know, if you know which way they're going, you stand the opposite direction. They go, they come back. It's like, it can
this
be perfectly seamless.
This guy would not move. The guy wouldn't move. I wanted to literally just pretend to fall and knee him in the fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Because I was like, do you want me to admit that I'm overweight? Because I will.
I don't.
I don't care.
That's not what it's about. It's really just like, I don't know what the thought process is, but he thinks that it's easier.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not.
It's and period. It's impolite.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Super impolite.
I'm with you.
If you are, you know, when the drinks cart comes through, I'm, again, a frequent United flyer, so I know their whole drinks menu by heart, so I'm always ready when they come to my seat. But if you're flying a different airline and you don't know what the options are, they're telling the people three rows ahead of you what the options are. So take one earbud out, see what they're saying, and then when they get to you, you can be like, I would like the blueberry seltzer. Because you were, and I had a flight attendant once be like, oh my God, you were listening. It's like, I know, I'm the only one on the fucking plane that was lit, that saw you coming and knew what this was going to be and got ready. I also, I don't personally like ice in my drinks in general, but I also don't like no ice in a cup. So I just get, I'm like, I'll have the blueberry seltzer, just the can. And then when you get on a United flight, I don't know if this happens on the other airlines, but they give you an alcohol wipe. And I have like a collection of probably 25 of them in my backpack because I don't mm-hmm. use them to wipe down the seat because it's just not where the germs are. But I will use it to wipe off the edge of the can when I'm drinking the can.
That's a very New Yorker moment.
Yes.
There you go. Good for you.
I just don't like to have, you know, like the cup of ice that you don't want to finish because you're cold and the soda's gone. Like, I don't want to put that in the
seat
pocket.
That's between you and your
guide. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I mean, that is totally medicine. But if people didn't know, you can order just the can and they will give it to you. And
you could just, oh, right, right. Yeah. It's true. They will give you the whole can.
Yep.
You, that's, it's the only thing that's left.
Yes. Seize the can. Used to, that's your part, can.
It's part of the social agreement.
Yeah.
My hair is driving me nuts this episode. I cannot make it be right.
I did mine four cares? Times before we got on. So I
feel and, so the here's okay. So yes, I like knowing what you're supposed to have. And I like the you know, sort of, and if someone's asleep, that's fine. You leave them be.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not paying attention, it's okay
to
just go, hey,
mm-hmm.
She's asking. And then, and then if you're, you know, if you're on the aisle or if you're in the middle and the person at the window, you can be part of the solution and grab the trash.
I would say it's your duty.
Yeah. It's,
if there's any kind of like difficulty in the, you know, the touch of God between you and the flight attendant, that's when I come in. And
as a person who sits on the window, I always go above. I go up high because
mm-hmm.
she's standing up anyway.
Right, right.
And he doesn't need it right in front mm-hmm. of. He's trying to watch Jurassic Park, right? I'm not here to interrupt Avatar. It's whatever's happening. And and I try to do this as a window person.
Mm-hmm.
If one person is going to the bathroom and I can foretell that I'm going to need to go to the bathroom on a 4-hour flight.
Oh yeah. This is a huge tip. Yes. Go. I know what you're going to say. Go for it. Yeah.
As right. If someone, like if the middle person is like, I have to go to the bathroom. I, as a window person, will say that I might as well go.
Yes.
Cause let's do this once. Mm-hmm. It's just, all it is you are existing in society.
Yeah.
You are just aware of your surroundings at all times. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science.
Right.
It's just being slightly thoughtful.
Yeah. It's also like, this is an opportunity to go to the bathroom before you're like, fuck, I have to go to the bathroom. You know, it's a gift to you when the middle person gets up to go to the bathroom. Or if you're the person that gets up and the middle person, when that middle person sits back down, I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Well,
okay.
Guess not all of us are as considerate.
Now, what is the situation in, what is the seating at United? In Delta, there's first class, and then there's something called Delta Comfort.
United has that, something like that now, Comfort
and
Plus.
And then there's essentially Basic or Main or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in Main or Basic, mm-hmm. whatever that main
coach.
Area, you don't regular, it's just regular coach. Mm-hmm. You are offered snacks and a beverage mm-hmm. during the flight.
Yes.
In Delta Comfort, you are offered snacks and a beverage during the flight, but also once or twice during the length, whatever the length of the thing, you are offered a basket of weird chips and candy and Kind bars, which I've never, ever enjoyed.
No.
And and in first class, you are offered that basket, and then you are also offered beverages on demand.
Right.
And
a meal.
Consistently.
Sometimes
and sometimes a meal, a real meal,
mm-hmm.
which, and since 9/11, they have started using real forks and knives again. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And and I get bumped up to first class relatively often just because mm-hmm. I fly three times a week sometimes. Yep. And I remember when I wasn't Diamond, because I'm Diamond now. Mm-hmm. And I was Gold or Platinum or whatever the fuck comes before it. And the person at the thing said, "Do you want to be Diamond?" And I said, "I think Diamond means I'm never home." So no. And now I'm Diamond and I'm like, I am not home as often as I would like to be.
Yeah.
So
my mom was the equivalent on United is 1K. And it's like, you know, you get to board before they even do the boarding groups, like 1K. Like it's a big time thing, but it's definitely, you are not home and you are on a plane most of the time. Like
right.
They work you for it.
So, okay. What else you got?
What else do I got?
We got about 10 minutes.
Okay. I think we can move to deplane. Oh, wait. Okay. No, when you're getting on and you're putting your stuff in the overhead, first of all, I work out because I like to be able to lift my own bag. I don't trust men, period, but I'm definitely not letting one fucking touch my bag. Okay. That is my bag. So I take my bag, I put it in the bin on United now.
I work out so that I can pick up my
bag. So that I don't have to talk to men when I travel. It is an unforeseen benefit of being in decent shape. I'm not doing P90X, but I can lift my bag. And, you know, sometimes I'll see a girl get on with her boyfriend and just like stop in the aisle and like move into the seat and let him do it. And I'm like, there's no scenario where I'm not like lifting both bags. So I do that when I travel with somebody else.
Interesting. Anybody can, there's nothing of value in my bag that I give a damn about. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you knock yourself out.
Yeah, no, it's not about that. It's not about that.
It's not that. Nope. Do you want essentially not, it isn't control so much.
It might
or,
be.
Or is it proving? Proving that you can do it yourself?
Partly, yeah.
Okay.
Partly, you know, I'll see like somebody kind of try to like see if they should, and then I'm like, it's up. Okay, what do you got? But on United, they have signage inside the bins. That's like, they redid the bins so they could fit more luggage in them. And so it's like, people want to put their luggage in this way. And then it says in there, put your luggage on the side because we can fit more bags.
Right.
And I'm always on the plane first. So I put my bag in that way. And then I see people get on the plane and just not fucking read the sign that's in the bin. It's in the bin. Like, you're looking at it. I know you are.
And the example. You have created an example.
Yeah. Do it like that. You know, so
right. there is a template.
Yes.
You could see how to do that. Is fascinating.
And then you know, a lot of people put their coats and their hats in the bin, and it's, they've been making announcements the whole time we're boarding. They don't care. Please hold your bags, jackets in your lap. Yes. And then for me, I'm like, just put the coat behind you. You know, if it's not like something that needs to be like respected, like
right. What do you got over there? Is it a mink?
Exactly. What's it mink?
Is it 1947?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it 1947? You know, you gotta, I try not to be too precious about the things that I fly with or in. Okay. For deplaning, when you're at the gate, when you first land, sometimes I was on one of those flights where we were late. I was flying from Denver to, you know, it was via Denver to Burbank. I ended up having to change the flight because I missed my connection to Burbank. So I had to go to LAX, but beat spending the night in Denver. But anyway, it was like the flight was 90 minutes delayed, I think. And so a bunch of people had tight connections that they were going to maybe not make. And I don't think any airline has figured this out, you know, but they'll be like,
it out, because sometimes they make an announcement, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And I would appreciate it if they did make an announcement. Yeah. I know where you're going. This is a good thing.
Yes. So, and it happens. It happens all like the way I saw it done well once, where the flight attendant, the purser was like,
so it can be done.
Yes. If you have a tight connection, hit your, you know, call button, your flight attendant call button, so that everyone knows that you are one of the people that has to get out quickly.
What a great idea.
That was the
idea.
Best I've seen it done. But it's flight, you know, there is no standard process for it. So a bunch of people got stuck at the back of the plane and missed their connections. And I just like, I know that feeling. So once the flight got delayed, I was like, I'm not trying to chance this. I'm going to LAX on the 920. I'll just be dead when I get there, but just whatever.
Right. Essentially, if it's too tight, I am like, I'm not going. don't worry about it.
Right, right. But it's still hard. If you think there's a chance when you're getting into the gate, if you're like, there's a chance, there's like 25 minutes, I might make it. Your heart rate does not care whether you've submitted or not. It's like,
which is why the window's open. And I remember we had 7 to 9 minutes to get to the next one before they close the gate, right? 15 minutes before the flight takes off, they close the gate. So we have 7 or 8 minutes. And as we pull into the gate, I lift up the window and I'm like, and I have the app and it tells me our flight is out of A18. We have landed at A16.
Oh, nice. Oh God. That's even worse.
So I text Maria and I'm like, there's a chance we can make this because it's across the, it's two gates down, and we made it. We made it.
Amazing.
But it wasn't like one time I did panic and I fought my way out. You know how like some people are just like, I'm fighting my way out to try to get to this thing. And it isn't a good look.
No. And you can't do it without the support of the people around you. You know, it can't be just you. That's not fair.
Right. I've done it and I felt bad about it, but it's not anything that you want to do.
Right.
It's just, I like that call button business.
It was so,
that's a great idea.
I think about it every time because it's the only time I've seen it done that way. So they did the raise your hand and then, but you know, it's like I think if you do the raise your hand thing, you have to like, who's the farthest back person that you can see and don't get up before they get off the plane. You know,
that's it.
Because it was just like,
because that's how you get off the plane anyway. Yeah. People in the front clear out.
Yes.
Every row.
Yes.
The full aisle gets out.
And if you
don't, then the next one starts.
Exactly. And if you don't have a tight connection, you just have to accept your place in the plane. If you are in the back of the plane, you're getting off last. That's just how
it
is. And, so the people who like run up, you know, they'll run up like three rows and then just fucking stand there. So I can't like stand up and stretch.
Right.
I think standing up and stretching in the aisle is great. Getting anything down from the bins before there's like at least two rows ahead of you, you know, of people, then you can start getting it down. For me, I just pull it out when I'm leaving.
You can do that.
Another one of my strengths moves. I'll like pull it out and then I'm walking already while I pull out the handle. It is impressive, if I do say so.
I think you can do it if you're on the aisle and you put your bag on your seat.
Yes. Yes.
I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Or you can roll it into the space where your legs were. That also works.
Yeah. If you're completely out of the way so that everybody else can wrestle.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, because you do an above, do you ever get stuck putting your bag two aisles back behind you?
It has happened once on Air Canada when I was coming here, and
it's a drag.
It was the worst. It was so bad because it was like 10 rows back, and you just have to wait. You have to stand there and wait for everybody to go. And then, you know,
you might as well. Oh, you don't even go. Like
if it's two back, I will be like, can you grab that for me? I'll do that. But
I think two is the limit.
Yeah.
I think
and then
more
after
than
that,
two.
Yeah. When it was
then, because otherwise people have to like surf it forward.
Yes.
And that's
that's so not worth it. Yeah. So the time that it happened, I was like, because my main thing is like, don't be in the fucking aisle. Like, don't be in the aisle if you're not walking in the aisle. So I would go back, but I would get in the aisle and then I'd like hop into one of the empty rows and then I'd get back out again and then hop back into the one, you know, because it's like, I'm not holding up traffic. So I eventually made it back to my bag, got it down, and I think still exited before people who were behind the bag.
That's good.
But yeah,
that's good.
Don't be in the aisle. If you take one thing away from this episode, do not fucking
stay in the
aisle.
This has been an episode where we both celebrate and suggest the correct etiquette.
Yes.
Whilst traveling via the airlines.
Yes.
And these are things that you would recommend.
And by the way, I am. Yes. Judging anybody who doesn't want to do it. You know, I understand there are different travel styles.
Not out loud. Yeah. Anyway.
Well,
so Katie Campa. As you should know, I've been talking with Katie Campa, stand-up comic, has a new special and album out called Incurable Optimist. And it's the video's on YouTube. The album is on all the things, your Amazon, your Spotify, your Apple Your Pandora, your, then all the other ones. Is it on, it might be on Bandcamp if you're on Bandcamp.
I think it is, yeah. My record label, Little Lamb Recordings, which is amazing, has a Bandcamp, and I believe it is available on there. Yeah.
That is also neat. So and there is a katiecompa.com, C-O-M-P-A, mm-hmm. for tour dates and all the info and more information than you may ever need. But there it is. And it's at katiecompa on Instagram. It'll be in the notes. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh my gosh, this thank you so much for having me.
Cathartic.
Me too.
Honestly.
Me too. I could not be happier to get to talk about this in this venue.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?